Tom Kissingberry here. Nah, I'm just kidding. We don't have Tom Kissingberry money. It's just me, Peter Howard, and Jake Anderson meeting at the Dynasty Crossroads once a week for 30 minutes to talk about one player at a time. We look at the film with Jake, we talk about the analytics with me, and we try to come to a consensus. We do have a pretty cool theme song, though.
Peter crunches numbers, and Jake just grinds that tape. Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade addicts pie, let's go.
I'm Scott Sidlow, and I have a trading problem.
My name is Mix Tolkien, and I do have a trading problem.
And I'm Ross Batko, and I have a trading problem.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I don't know where you are, but now is the time. It's another Dynasty Roast takeover of the Trade Addicts podcast. You are here with, as you heard, myself, Scott Sidlow, hosting once again. Almost a year to the day from when I first hosted for Russ. Somehow I've managed to stay on here without swearing or, getting kicked off in some way whatsoever. I don't know how that's managed to happen, but here we are. And back again, Mick and Ross, the other legs of the tripod known as the Dynasty Roast. We are all back together again tonight, filling in for Russ and Rocky. And, it's that time of year. We've got some interesting things to talk about. Not a lot of crazy news, but we'll go over a few different things for you and see if we can give you some sort of weird, different insight as we are known to have. So, how are you guys doing tonight?
Not too bad. A little bit cold. I'm out in the garage tonight, so other than that, not bad.
Not bad here.
Garage podcast.
65 and sunny down here, Mick. So that's on you for your choice of where you live.
Yes.
I mean, that is kind of true.
Well, Scott, you can't talk. You're over in Chicago, so can't be much warmer there than.
Yeah,
it
but
is
I'm here. Not in a garage.
Well, it's heated. I just don't have the heat on, so.
That's why you're wearing a jacket.
Yes, that's why I'm wearing a jacket.
All right, now it all makes
sense. I'm not a Browns fan today. That's got to be rough.
Oof. It is, yes. We know the final four teams now after some exciting football yesterday. I can't believe yesterday was Sunday. This might be the longest day of my life. Wow. What did you got? Anything stand out from the games yesterday for you guys other than, maybe the Breeze final game? I don't know if you guys caught that final look back into the stadium as he was walking out and I was like, oh, yep, that's it. It's over. It's over.
I based off the way he played it, it needs to be his last game. I think it looked like he had nothing left.
Yeah, pretty reminiscent of that last Peyton Manning year where he's like just doing enough to get it to the receiver and then hopefully the defense can take over for the, you know, to win the games. But the Saints couldn't hold off the buck, so not the way he wanted to end it, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's had some rough luck the last few years. Definitely probably could have had another ring, but I think he was probably still hurt. you know, from those ribs, and he just couldn't get the ball downfield. I mean, he didn't even try. So that's got to tell you something. I mean, he just, you know, whether it's our age and arm strength is one thing, but when you have 94 broken ribs, I mean, geez, what are you going to do, you know?
Yep. And when you're that old, the recovery time is going to take a lot longer than it would for a 27, 28 year old.
Yeah, no doubt. He's so old, you know, he's what, 5 years older than me, but okay. Yeah. It's so great. We talk about how old these guys are, like they're just decrepit and, you know.
Yeah, Scott, we have the old, Mick has the young, you know, 27, 28 year old ribs. He can bounce back a bit quicker.
Exactly.
No, I hurt my back getting out of bed the other day. So. I can't imagine getting hit by a 250-pound linebacker 7-8 times a game.
You know, that hit, when it happened, I didn't think it was that vicious of a hit. And then he just holding his side and broken ribs. I mean, that's got to be pretty painful. Sometimes those hits you don't even see. You know, like Mahomes got hit, almost passed out when he tried to stand up. And I still, to this, you know, even today looking at replays, I can't even see, like, where the contact was with his head. I guess it was the back of his head, but I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either, but if it was the back of his head, I can see how that would, it would cause you to be a little bit more than if it was the top of your head. It's back of your head's a little bit softer, at least from my experience, getting hit a couple times.
And you get sacked a lot in your life, Nick.
I actually got hit in the head by a shot put.
This is a Dynasty Roast medical show today. And my ribs and most part of your head's
soft. All my injuries. The list is the long.
South Dakota life.
Sadly, none of them are from football.
Well, they don't have to know that, Mick. You just make up a story. We'll go.
That's right. It. Hey, nobody knows. Nobody knows. It's your story. Oh. Well, I think the injuries pretty much caught up to Breeze, and that's why it's over for him. I mean, last year was frustrating enough, but this year you could tell the dude was just in a ton of pain. So he's probably over it, I would guess, at this point. His body's telling him, you know, just can't do it anymore. But, yeah, that's – I don't know, man. I've heard of a few guys that I know that have had Breeze for, like, you know, a decade on their fantasy teams. I mean, I can't imagine what that's like. And, Mick, I know you don't know what that's like because you trade guys every, like, 5 days because they get too old. But, man, that's kind of what I'm thinking for like a Trevor Lawrence this year. If you have the 101, you take T-Law, you just plug him in for the next decade. That's crazy. That's crazy to think about.
I don't, now that you say that, I don't want the 101 anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I don't know if to get in today's game lends to that. I just feel like guys aren't playing as long. They get beat up or they maybe take their health more seriously or just we know more now.
We know more about the long-term effects of
right.
head injuries. Right. That and they're making more money early on. I mean, not like in their rookie year, but comparatively to what it was back 10, 15 years ago, they're making more money early on. So if I make $20 million in 2 years, do you really need to play until you can't walk anymore?
Very true.
Those old contracts, though, Sam Bradford, he got like, what, $50 million before playing a snap? I mean.
Well, yeah, but those were, you know, only the top guys, really.
Sam Bradford, the top guy. I think he's in the top 10 of
all time. I mean, I'm
101.
I think Sam Bradford's actually in the top 10 he was for a little while, of all-time earnings in the NFL. I know at one point he was. He might not be anymore, but.
That's scary to think about.
That brings up Breeze retiring and injuries catching up with him. I think that makes what Brady's been able to do on the flip side of that game yesterday, what Brady's been able to do at, what, 43, even more impressive?
Very true.
I mean, at this point, is there even an argument for him between him and any other quarterback all time?
I don't think so, but it's going to pop up if he can't perform in the cold weather next week and Rodgers takes him out. You know, he's going to be at least, you know, the current of, you know, what have you done for me lately? People are going to start forgetting about Brady a little bit if he doesn't keep winning before he retires. But I think it's cemented. No one's going to have that type of career in the future.
No, I don't. To have the longevity that he had and the success, it's just, I don't think we'll see anyone play. The only person that can maybe play as long as him right now would be Russ. But he's still 11 or 12 years away from that. And he hasn't had nearly the success at this point in his career that Brady did. So,
speaking of, did you guys see that Seattle has talked to Adam Gase about their offensive coordinator spot?
Yep.
That's the, hey, Russ, we see you cooking, but let's try cooking with Gase. Let's see how good you really are.
If he can, if they sign Gase, one, Gase needs to send Peyton Manning the half of his contract just every year for the rest of his life. But two, if they do sign him and Russ is still able to succeed even a little bit, I honestly don't think that he'd still be a top 12 quarterback if they sign Gase. That might seem crazy, but
man, I don't know.
I thought there was news that someone talked to Gase and their owner was quoted as saying, yeah, he did great things with Peyton Manning, so we think he can, like, who still believes that?
So, I mean, obviously somebody somewhere, but man, I don't know. At least Seattle can say that they're not Houston.
That's true.
Or pretty much every other organization at this point. I don't know if you guys have read about any of that, but it is crazy, man. The story I was reading, I believe it was on SI.com, I think, was the story where they're comparing like Game of Thrones to Houston front office and all that. I mean, man, that is, I mean, poor Deshaun Watson. That's nuts. So I don't know. I don't know what happens with him. Does he get traded? You know, if let me ask you this. Is there any other team that Watson could go to where his value would increase? I mean, we don't know who the coach is yet in Houston. We don't know what the offense is. I mean, we know some of the pieces there, but you know, Fuller's presumably gone. Cooks is still there. Don't really have a tight end. Running back, who knows? Average line at best. You know, where could he go that his value is actually better,
though? For me, I'd say the Panthers.
He's still high. I mean, he's still a top five guy, right?
Yep. I'd still have him in the top five, even on the team that he's on. But that a team that he could go to that actually needs a quarterback, I don't know if they have the picks or even the players to make it happen. I mean, they could just send him CMC. We know how the Texans like running backs. But if he went to the Panthers with their offensive scheme and the weapons that they have, if they do re-sign Robbie Anderson or Curtis Samuel and then CMC in the backfield, CMC would take a massive hit because Watson doesn't really check down to the running backs. But with those receiving weapons and the offense that Matt Rhule's running there, I think his value would go up. Maybe not right away because he'd have a little bit of a learning curve, but that's an
interesting one. I had not thought of or heard that from anyone. So that's different. I mean, hey, you never know. The owner there in Carolina is definitely willing to make some moves and make things happen. So, hey, you never, ever know.
And then the other thing is their defense in Carolina is not the greatest, and every other offense in that division can put up points. So we'll see if the Saints can still put up points without Breeze. But every week that they're playing, like six games out of the year would be a shootout. In theory.
That is true. No longer in a dome, but still good weather. So, yeah, I don't know. I think he's just one of those guys that he's going to elevate whoever's around him. So he's going to have top five value no matter where he goes. But I don't know how they fix it at this point, but I also don't know how they trade him. So, you know, that's
the only – I think the only team that could afford to trade for him, because when was the last time that – a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback that was only 25 got traded. What, Jay Cutler?
Yeah.
I mean, but Jay was.
I think Josh Rosen had the potential.
Oh, yeah, 25
yet, so we don't know. I mean, he could have. They gave up on him too quick.
Yeah, they did.
Well, we'll get to see. Is he going to play this week? He's Kansas City's backup, isn't he?
I know Henney's the two. I don't know who the third is.
Dude, Michigan legend Chad Henney is the backup in Kansas City, okay?
All right, well, and, that's
I thought Rosen was in Tampa Bay.
Is he now?
Yeah,
I stopped tracking him.
Yeah, I think Arian signed him.
Well, I don't know about increasing value, but three landing spots I thought would be kind of cool to think about with Watson would be San Francisco to replace Jimmy G. So he's got, you know, more of that run game defense. They're not relying on him to just hold the whole team on his shoulders and maybe, you know, just kind of not having to worry about doing too much. He could just be kind of pick you apart, more efficient as opposed to just, you know, airing it out all the time. So that was one spot. Another spot would be, I don't think this will work because the cap is probably not right at all, but replacing Breeze in New Orleans, going with Michael Thomas in the dome, Kamara, that'd be a pretty good upgrade, yeah, I would say, for the Saints. And then the third one, maybe just for fun to see how you guys would think, but maybe if the Bears send out something to grab him. Would you be happy about that? Like, right the wrong, or is that, you know, a double whammy for you guys?
Well, since they kept Pace and Nagy, there's 0% chance that they're going to do that. No. Pace and Nagy needed to be fired, and that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about them signing or trading for him. One, because they'd have to give up so much that it would ruin the team.
They don't have anything to give up.
No, it would ruin the team for the next three. It would be more detrimental than helpful. And also, it just hurt.
It'd be Houston North. Like, they'd have no assets and they'd have no line. What's the point? Yeah.
But what do they have now?
Well, they have at least future picks.
Yeah, and they have a dominant
to screw up.
Well, maybe not dominant, but they have a
very the defense will be back with a coordinator who knows how to use them. I don't know what Pagano was doing, but he was not using Khalil Mack, right? Among others. But there is some serious talent on that defense. Mm-hmm. And I think they're gonna shock people next season. And we're gonna lose games like 6-0, but that's besides the point.
But back to the other two that you brought up, I really like San Francisco. That'd be a really good landing spot for him, I think.
Yeah, we hear a lot of rumors of like Matt Ryan there to reunite with Shanahan, things like that. It makes sense, but yeah, Watson, that could be super interesting. And they obviously have young talent and assets that they would be able to trade. So I think it's definitely possible. Like, I mean, at this point, anything's possible, just about. I mean, you know, excluding the teams that have no cap room, but, you know, like he's not going to the Eagles. But, I mean, there's, you know, for the most part, there's probably half the league that would be in play, and I'm sure every team has reached out in some capacity at this point, you know.
The only teams that I would think would be the Chiefs.
Chargers.
And Seahawks, maybe. But that's – outside of that,
damn, if I were the Seahawks, I would flip Russ for Watson in a heartbeat.
Yeah, gain 6 years.
But see, now we're thinking fantasy too much.
But no, him going to the 49ers, that seems like a move that John Lynch would be able to make happen. I mean, he made Ryan Pace trade up a spot to take a quarterback that no one wanted, so.
Exactly. You guys a miracle worker.
Yeah, it looks like this year Watson's cap hit's not bad, about 16, but it jumps up to 40.4 in 2022. So
okay. Well, if a team could bring him in and then like prove it to him, and then he could, you know, sign a long term cap friendly deal, something like that, you know.
Yeah. Certainly, well, he's got that deal already, right?
So he's signed an extension.
Well, I know, but they could restructure it. You know, to say, hey, give us some flexibility here so we can put some pieces around you. You know,
we're an actual competent front office.
Yeah, exactly. So let's see. Since last week's episode, we've had two new hirings. The Chargers made it official with Brandon Staley, the Rams defensive coordinator, and Detroit made it official with Dan the Man Campbell coming over from the Saints. He's been the assistant head coach down there for the last several years. He was the interim coach on the Dolphins, I believe, the year that Joe Philbin, I believe, was there. He was the OC from the Packers. He went down to Miami. He got fired after, I think, like in his third year. And, yeah, so Campbell does have some coaching experience. It's all about the leadership, just like the Jets hire of Robert Saleh. They were looking for a leader. And Campbell will probably bring in some experienced coordinators. And so that'll be interesting to see, you know, what they do there with. They got to make a decision on Stafford, I guess, if they want to try to build something around him, or if they're just going to blow it up and start fresh and young coach, rebuild it. You know, I don't know what's going to happen there, but really not a lot of fantasy relevance at this point. Staley being a defensive guy, we don't know who's going to run the offense and be, I would guess it's a pretty desirable spot though. If you're going to have a young hotshot defensive guy come in to run that defense, and then you've got Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, you know, and you've got some high picks too, actually, you know, mm-hmm. if you think about it, you've got, you know, high first, high second. So yeah, that could be a super fun offense. So that might be interesting. I don't know at this point any big names necessarily. There's certainly some retreads out there and some quarterback coaches. But I don't know. The big names that have not gone anywhere, Eric Bieniemy, Brady, the LSU OC, now the Panthers OC, Joe Brady, and who's the third guy I'm thinking of? Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll. So you got three big name offensive coordinators that, you know, there's only two spots left, Houston and Philly. So not seeing necessarily a fit for any of those guys to go to those places. So I don't know if maybe they're just holding out, waiting for better opportunities in the future. But I guess that's good news for their current teams. Whereas, you know, Arthur Smith going to Atlanta, what does that do to Tennessee's offense? Like, personally, for me, I might be selling Tannehill because he's worked some magic with those Titans. So this might be the time to, hey, it's been a great run. Tannehill's getting older. Sell him. Sell Henry, because Henry's old, mm-hmm. right, Mick?
Hey, he's 27. That's old shit.
AJ Brown. But any thoughts from you guys on any of those coaching hires and anybody you're buying or selling due to those hires?
I'm definitely with you. I'm selling pretty much every Titan except for AJ Brown, just because AJ Brown is, I mean, for me, he's top three.
Scheme-proof.
And he's such a man beast that he can get a 3-yard slant and turn it into an 80-yard touchdown anytime he touches the ball. I mean, you could say the same thing about Henry, but he benefits from getting the ball 30 times a game and wearing a defense down throughout the course of the game, which most offensive coordinators aren't going to do that. We'll see who they bring in or who they promote to be the offensive coordinator, but all Titans, I'd probably be buying DeAndre Swift with the hope that he can be Alvin Kamara. Those are really the only two that stick out to me. We don't know enough about the Chargers hires yet, so.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Chargers, kind of a TBD on the coordinators that he brings in, but I think I'd be buying even more so than I already was TJ Hawkinson. Up in Detroit, because, you know, Dan Campbell, he's a fiery guy. When he took over for that Dolphins, I think it was like 2015 or whatever, you know, it just kind of brings the passion, kind of old school grit. And he, you know, he's always been a tight ends coach. So I could see him just force feeding Hawkinson. Yeah. I could just see him like, hey, he's our guy. Who knows if they bring Galladay back or not, but he could become, turn into that kind of focal point of the offense where, you know, Campbell's like, hey, this guy's a beast. Let's get him the ball. I mean, I think he's going to take that step regardless. Hawkinson in his third year, but I think there might be a little bit more behind it with, you know, a former tight ends coach coming in to take over. So it's kind of a gamble I'd be willing to take.
Yeah, speaking of Galladay, that dude's old already.
Well, I mean, old man ribs. Like 25, 26?
No, he's actually 27, Mick.
He came in at 24.
Super old for you.
Is he playing at 28 next year?
I think
he's going to retire.
He's probably going to die.
Breaking news. Old man Galladay retires.
Let's see. Yeah, he just turned 27 in November, so.
So he'll be 28 at the halfway point of the next season. Well, halfway point of the fantasy year. But
so he's definitely off your rosters.
He's off my roster.
He's as good as gone.
I haven't touched him since I traded him after I drafted him.
Why did you draft him in the first place?
Because you could get him in the third round to start a rookie drafts. Then I'll take a 24-year-old, but same reason I ended up with a lot of Terry. He was a 22-year-old rookie.
Do you think Galladay is worth franchising for the Lions?
But it depends on what they do with Stafford.
Does it, though? I mean, they need somebody. Marvin Jones is a free agent. I mean, everybody's gone. All that's left is Cephas.
Well, I mean, what's the point of spending the money on a wide receiver if
you they could just draft someone if they're rebuilding?
Yeah.
Jamar Chase, anyone?
I mean, Stafford's not really old. I mean, what's the argument of getting moving on from him? Just you don't think you can get it done with him?
Stafford's old, dude.
He's what, 31 or something?
That's old.
It's like halfway for quarterbacks.
Not everyone is Brady.
And he's had a lengthy injury history.
Already. A lot of issues. Yeah, and he's got like seven kids now or something. I mean, he's needed at home, just like Phil. He's catching up.
And his wife has had cancer already. She's recovered from it.
That's true. Not
in remission, I guess is the technical term. But
right.
he might retire early to go spend time with her. I mean, he's made more than enough money so that his kids will never have to work.
He was one of those guys that got paid as the first overall pick without doing anything. And then he got another contract. So, and a third, I believe.
I think so.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I heard the argument, I don't remember where it was at, but someone saying, if you're a new head coach coming in, you know, you've got a couple years to kind of prove yourself. Do you want to take a risk on a rookie, or do you want to go with someone, you know, that can get the job done and, you know, a veteran like Matt Stafford? And, you know, why would you want to just start rebuilding as soon as you get there?
Well, there's also the argument that if you grab a rookie, you can tell your ownership, hey, this kid's a rookie. He was going to be green coming in. We got to mold him and turn him into what we want. And we'll get him there eventually. Just give me time. It worked for Ryan Pace. He saved his job for another year.
Yeah, but how much time do you get these days? I mean, Rosen didn't last long. Now there are already rumblings about Tua maybe on the trade block.
Dude, look at Doug Peterson.
Yeah, I mean,
one guy won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and he has one bad year, and it's see ya. I mean, but that's ownership saying, hey, we don't like your vision for the future. So, I mean, anyone can determine. They could have said, listen, Dan Campbell, if you want this job, this is what we're doing. And we're getting rid of Stafford and we're going young and we're doing, you know, I mean, we don't know what those conversations are. So obviously all we can do is speculate, but that is certainly the circumstance in some ownership circles. I mean, there have been times where we've heard those stories long after they came out, the whole Dwayne Haskins thing with, you know, the GM, the coach didn't want him. The owner made him pick him, you know, so they refused to move up and then they draft him. And now look, he's gone. I mean, it's crazy, you know, so you don't know, what the stipulations are behind that. Like, I wonder with Arthur Smith going into Atlanta, did he say like, hey, here's what I couldn't do with Mariota, but I was able to do this with Tannehill and I could do this with Matt Ryan. And then you say, and alternatively, if you want to move on from Matt Ryan, here's my plans for, you know, Zach Wilson or Trey Lance or whatever. You know, I mean, what did that interview look like? Did he go in with multiple plans? Did he say, hey, I'm willing to do whatever? Did he say, listen, I'll coach whoever you put in front of me? Or did he say, I'm only coming if I get to work with Matt Ryan? I mean, there's just so many things that we may never know. And I mean, that's going to be a big factor for a lot of things. It's interesting now we're in a weird spot. I can't remember the last time in fantasy football where it was always a late round quarterback, right? Cause there just were so many, there were always new ones coming in. There were always young guys, different systems. And then we just had that solid group of veterans that we knew would be there every single year. And now it's getting to the point where we don't know if these guys, I mean, Breeze isn't going to be there probably, you know, I mean, Brady's going to get another year older. You're going to trust him for another year. I don't know. You know, Roethlisberger now, they just did not renew the contract of Randy Fickner, his OC and his good friend. They were close, and that was one of the reasons Fickner got the job in the first place after Arians left. Actually, I think there was somebody there between Arians and Fickner, but yeah, what's going to happen there? Are they going to change that offense? Is Ben going to want to learn a new offense if they do? And we're starting to move on from these guys. So where do these veterans go? You know, does Matt Ryan go somewhere? Does Stafford go somewhere? There's only so many spots. And if you have, now we come back to the draft and say, okay, well, everybody's talking about six quarterbacks going in the first round, 6.5 over under. I mean, you know, maybe 7. I mean, that's nuts. So where are all these guys going? You know, and are they going to bridge for a couple years? I mean, so then you're looking at all these spots. There's so many musical chairs right now this time of year. It's just hard to speculate at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, even the quarterbacks that were supposed to have a year or two and need a bridge quarterback lately have been guys that come in and produce right away, like your Lamar Jacksons or your Josh Allens, even this Herbert. Year. Yeah, well, touche. But hey, there's definitely spots that need quarterbacks, but there's also, if all of the vets end up moving on from where they're at, there's going to be an abundance of quarterbacks out there, which is really weird to say. But it's also because there's going to be more quarterbacks than there are jobs, it's going to make it difficult for fantasy to know who is going to end up being the starter. Say the Lions do end up drafting a quarterback and they keep Stafford on for a bridge as a bridge quarterback, and has a bad game or two or gets hurt, and you were relying on him all season. And then he goes down, and all of a sudden, Zach, whoever they draft in the first round, ends up panning out right away and hits the ground running, like Herbert did this year. Then you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, and no one's even, you know, talking about Dak this year. You know, last year is all, they're going to give him a contract. He's going to be a free agent. He gets hurt, and now the chatter's kind of gone away, but the question is still remains, you know, if he doesn't get a deal from Jerry, that's another, you know, pretty established quarterback that's looking for a job. And there's just, you know, like Scott mentioned, it's this day and age, it hasn't been like this in forever where there's, you know, almost too many quarterbacks for jobs. I mean, it's great for the quality of the game because we're not having all these terrible guys where, you know, it's a retread that's been through 5 teams, but there's no one else that's better. So it's good for the sport, but it makes those decisions tougher for, you know, GMs in the NFL and fantasy alike.
And so what does it do for us in Dynasty? I mean, it creates opportunity, but it also creates risk, right? Because we don't know what's going to happen. So, all right, right now I'm going to give you 4 names. Tell me what pick you're willing to give up for those 4 names. So I'm going to start Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, we're assuming
1 draft pick. What are you willing to give up for him?
We're assuming Superflex.
Superflex. You're a middling or a competing team. You want to win next year. You need a second or third quarterback. Maybe you have a young guy and you have a good number one, and you have a young guy and you want to add one of these veterans to make a run. So right now it's January. We don't know landing spots. We don't know all that, but what are you paying for Ben Roethlisberger right now?
I'd say a late third.
Yeah, not much. I was thinking late third, fourth, maybe.
Really?
That probably go up after the draft once the landing spots kind of, you know, sort themselves out and, you know, he's got a job, or, you know, even though if they draft a rookie to, you know, bridge, like Mick said, his price will go up to the starter. But right now you can kind of play that angle of, hey, this guy might even retire before the draft or before the season.
That's true.
There's a good rookie draft. You know, here's an extra pick for you.
That's true. Okay. So Phillip Rivers, as of right now, is a free agent. Would you be willing to throw anything out for him at this point?
Probably not, to be honest.
Not even a third. You wouldn't throw a third. Somebody's like, hey, I'll take your mid third.
No, because you're burning money at that point in my mind. I don't want to have to start Rivers ever. And if I am starting Rivers, I don't think I'm winning a championship. So okay, well, I'd rather take a shot with my third.
I won a championship with him. And in fact, it was a three-peat, but it was a one quarterback league. But still, he was my quarterback. I won.
I lost in the semis, I think, in a super flex league with Rivers as my number two. I mean, towards the end, he was, you know, they weren't doing as well, but he was, you know, 250 and a couple of touchdowns. I mean, better than some of these other people that were, you know.
Well, look at who they were playing towards the end. He's not going to have that end of season schedule every year. It's the same reason Jonathan Taylor tore the league apart, which that's a whole other tangent. I'm not going to go down right now. But
all right,
Max is good for six touchdowns, easy if he stays in Indy.
Matt Ryan, would you pay the 112 for him right now?
No, I wouldn't. I was going to say an early to mid second, and I.
We must interrupt this episode for the one and only Larry Monkey himself. He has joined us here. He says DJ Moore could have been yours. And this is referring to the DDCL league, 48 team league, and Ross took over a wonderful orphan in there, is rebuilding and
lowest potential points out of 48 teams.
That's almost impressive.
That is very impressive. Good work.
We have Burrow and Trevor Lawrence stacking them up.
Yeah, let's get it. That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, I like DJ Moore, but just thanks for that.
DJ Moore's always right for the team.
What was the offer?
I think it was like the 107 and the 110. Super flex.
All right, never mind.
Okay. A year ago. Think back.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't even thought twice about it.
That's crazy, right?
DJ Moore has.
I mean, hey, Kyle Pitts.
Value hasn't changed for me. Because value hasn't changed for me. DJ Moore's value hasn't changed.
Liar.
It hasn't. I would say he's still in my top five for wide receivers. What did he do
that
made his value drop? They had other wide receivers on the team that produced. He still had just as good of a season, almost the same season as he did last year. Wide receivers produced on that team.
Is he the new Julio? Tons of catches, tons of yards, doesn't score touchdowns.
Could be. I mean, he's not.
CMC's there.
Yeah. I mean, CMC's getting – well, CMC's –
I don't know, man. He didn't play very much last year.
I mean, Moore's not a – he's not a big wide receiver. He's not. I mean, Julio's not big. Julio's a freak, so he should score more touchdowns. It's not surprising to me that DJ Moore doesn't score touchdowns. I mean, he's 5'11 and like 190. He's not 6 foot, 230 pounds like AJ Brown. Who, if he was bigger like that, I could see him scoring more touchdowns. But I'm fine with tons of catches and yards.
He just needs more targets. I mean, when they target him heavily, like the end of, you know, 2019, and when he's getting those deep balls, he's got more chance to win those balls or one-on-one, make him one move and make a guy miss. And they bring in Robbie Anderson, who's getting, you know, more of those deeper throws. I mean, it's just, I think it's just more of a scheme fit. And if he was the focal point of the passing offense, he would probably boost those up, maybe like around 10 touchdowns. Maybe he's not going to have an 18 touchdown type of season, but I think he's good for at least 5 to 7, you know, where he's at now with a lot of catches and yards.
I think Robbie Anderson had a lot of – well, maybe not a lot of familiarity with the offense. He did play for Rule at Temple, so he had experience in the offense that DJ Moore didn't have. And without there being an offseason, you kind of saw it towards the end of the year where DJ Moore was picking it up, and they did shift more to him being the focal point of the passing game. And he kind of came on at the end of the year. I digress. I love DJ Moore, but I would, even last year, I would have wanted the 107 and 110. Because this class, I know, Scott, you don't like this class, but the wide receivers in this class and then the tight end.
The tight end.
The tight end plus the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
At 107, you get for me at 107, that's a tier break, personally. So 107, you're still going to get either one of the top two.
Oh yeah, no, I don't disagree with that.
Well, what would you have done, Scott?
I want to trade a two first for pretty much anyone. That's just not my philosophy. I don't typically do that. I actually can't even remember the last time I traded two first for any player. So
I might just try to get him for cheaper from someone else.
Larry did end up selling him, and he got Chase Claypool and the 207.
You got a weird smell in your garage over there, Mick.
No, how does he go from 110, 107 and 110 to Chase Claypool and 207?
Well, how Chase Claypool's worth three first, didn't you hear? Juju's Claypool, leaving town.
Juju's leaving town, but so is Ben. Possibly. And Claypool's bound for touchdown regression. It's going to happen.
Hodges and Chase Claypool, match made in heaven.
I guess.
Fantasy heaven.
If you want 20 points every third game, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, let's finish up. So I want to just ask you about Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford. Are you giving up the 112 for either of them right now?
That's a tough one.
I think I would more so for Stafford than
yeah, that's kind of
kind of borderline, but I like Stafford more than Ryan.
Okay. All right. Well, I've at the trade deadline, basically at the beginning of the playoffs, I sold Ryan for the 112 in a league where I was done anyway. So, and the guy who bought him was the eventual champion. So I guess it worked for both of us. Right. But I felt like at this point, I was willing to take the risk. Now, if Arthur Smith comes in and does what he did with Tannehill, I might not be too happy about that. But I don't know. In this class, I guess I'd rather just take a risk on one of the young guys, maybe a Trey Lance or something.
Yeah.
He's at least 13 years younger. So, all right. So real quick, let's talk about dispersals. Trade Addicts 5, Dynasty, our very own Dynasty Outhouse, Marvin Litzau, and myself were in a three-team dispersal. We just completed it the other day, so this is pretty fresh. Basically, I mean, we're not going to go through the whole thing here, but essentially I just wanted to talk about dispersals and what they are and how they work and why I feel like every league should implement them. So how a dispersal works, or in this case, how it worked is I took over a team, an orphan, and that opened up what's called the second chance window. So any other team in the league, you didn't have to take over an orphan. Any team in the league can join in the dispersal, but it's private. Number one, you don't know who's going to be in it. So that way you don't know which players are going to be in, whatever. You have to make the decision privately. So, you know, your commissioner might have to decide and, you know, tell somebody or use a third party, and then everyone else will have to submit their answer to the commish or the third party privately. So we don't know who's going to be in it. And the second chance dispersal, you can only have done it once. So if you did it last year, you can't do it again this year. You can't just keep throwing your roster back every year and rebooting. You get one second chance. It's a second chance dispersal. Okay. So any of the orphans are eligible, and then second chance. So Russ and Marvin threw in their teams, and I threw in my orphan as well, because I figured if I'm taking over a roster, I might as well at least get to choose some of the pieces on there. So we figured out a random draft order and away we went. But basically all assets from all three rosters go in. You don't get to protect anyone. You don't get to keep your picks even. It's everything that was available at the time, which is 21 picks, 22 picks, and then obviously all the players on the rosters. And we went through. So for me, typically taking over an orphan, in most cases that equals a rebuild, especially jumping into a Trade Addicts league where, you know, we know there's lots of activity. I know I can probably make a lot of moves, improve my roster. So I wanted to get youth assets. In this case, with Trade Addicts being 1.75 PPR, I went heavy on tight end. And so that was kind of my strategy with that. But have you guys ever been in a dispersal? And do you have any general rules of thumb, any tips, strategies, any takeaways, anything you see from this particular dispersal that you think is interesting or different? And or, Ross, anything you dislike about dispersals, or what are the negatives to them?
Well, as far as strategies go, the dispersals that I've been a part of, and it's been over, you know, baseball, football, any kind of fantasy league, you know, in a dynasty league, it seems to be that someone will jump out on the picks early and sometimes start going after the picks, and then some of the other people that are in the dispersal might say, oh, well, they got the picks, I'll just get the players. And it tends to be kind of lopsided towards one team gets all of the good picks and they don't have as many players. And it doesn't really seem to disperse as evenly as you might think. So if you have a strategy going in of I want the players or I just want a full rebuild in the picks, if you kind of start, you know, if you want the picks and you start going after them earlier than others might think about going in, you can typically end up getting more and more because the more picks they're losing out on, the more that they might be thinking, well, I'll just get the players because all the good picks I wanted are gone. So it tends to kind of work out that way. And looking at your draft here, it seems that you were that guy that wanted the picks because you got almost all of them. Especially for, you know, for this 2021, it looks like Russell only got one pick, the 103, Marvin got the 2-1, and all the other picks are, you know, under the Scott column. So it's interesting to look back on. I mean, one thing that jumps out for me on your picks right here is that we just talked about, you know, Matt Ryan for a 112. Well, would you pay a 112 for Kirk Cousins? Because it looks like you took Kirk Cousins over Matt Ryan on this one.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, I took Cousins and then it went Boyd, Galladay, Ryan. Yeah. Honestly, part of this is just because of my strategy of playing Portfolio Dynasty where I have so many shares of Matt Ryan and I have zero shares of Kirk Cousins, like literally none. I don't have a single share. So in this case, it was just splitting the difference of like, hey, I'm going to take somebody I don't have in case I can't trade him. If I get stuck with him, at least it's not, you know, a 15th share of Matt Ryan or whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, looking at this one, for me personally, I am definitely not a Jalen Hurts fan long term. I don't think he can throw the ball. He's like a, you know, a running back that can do those a little bit better throwing than most running
backs. He was the first quarterback taken.
Yeah, he was taken. So this is a three-team, fifth like pick. You said, so the snake draft. So that was the fifth pick and followed up by Marvin snagging Calvin Ridley and Chris Godwin back-to-back right afterwards. So I didn't love that one for us. You know, I can see how some people like Jalen Hurts, but I'm just not personally a believer in him. You know, he got Tua in the third round, and I would probably rather take Tua than Jalen Hurts, you know, as it stands. But those are kind of my quick look at it. What do you think, Mick?
Right off the bat, Marvin taking Nick Chubb, I get that he's the only – looking at it, he's the only running back.
He's the only running back.
I get the thought process of taking him, but I would have gone 103 over Nick Chubb, and I probably would have gone CeeDee Lamb over Chubb, which it was the second and third picks, just because with the team, obviously if they're doing a second-chance dispersal and there's an orphan – there's not enough talent in the pool to compete. And Chubb, he's a good running back, don't get me wrong, but he's not an amazing fantasy running back, especially as long as Kareem Hunt's in town. So there was more valuable assets to me, especially if you're trying to trade that 103 during draft time. And then CeeDee Lamb, to me, are worth more than Chubb. But other than that, there's a couple other spots that stick out to me that some people passed on guys that I would have taken way higher, but overall, there's nothing that's really crazy.
I think that Marvin crushed this. If his strategy was, I want to come in, like I want a roster to win this year. I think his roster can compete right now, right away. Like if he won next year, I would not be surprised. Now I don't know what the rest of the rosters are. I haven't memorized the league at this point. Maybe there's some super dominant ones. I don't know. But this roster to me is probably best case scenario of what he came out with if he wanted to win this year. Now, having said that, his roster is skewing older, so he's going to need to make some moves and get some youth and all that. And obviously didn't get a ton of picks since I took most of them. But yeah, I don't know. I honestly would not be upset at all with his, like, I think we all fortunately took three different strategies, because if we all had the same strategy, it probably wouldn't have worked out too well. We'd have three shitty rosters here, but now you have, you know, two rosters with some potential and some assets, and one that can compete right away and still has, you know, enough assets. And again, it's a trade addicts league, right? So we know there's going to be activity, and we know there's going to be opportunities to make moves. So if I took the first pick, I probably would have taken Nick Chubb. And I said that in our group chat, just because I felt like the difference between him and everyone else at the position was so massive. Now, I'm surprised that you would take the 103 over Chubb. I mean, Chubb's not 27. He's not, you know, he's not like on his last legs. Like, the dude's still pretty young, and he doesn't get, you know, he doesn't get 25 touches a game. So he's not going to be all used up and used and abused here. And we know Stefanski's in place for the next few years, especially after what they just did. So I think he's like a guaranteed workhorse back the next 2-3 years minimum.
Would you have said that about Todd Gurley 2-3 years ago?
Probably, being with McVay and all that. Yeah, probably. Yes.
I have the same.
But that's, I mean, that was injury related. How would that be different for any other player on here?
Dude, I feel like everyone just forgets that Chubb had probably one of the most severe knee injuries in, at least for me, in recent memory, as far as in college. And it happened at the same school that Todd Gurley had his knee injury at.
Yeah, I remember it well, but I mean, he's been cranking him out, man. He's been stud. So
it
was the difference in it was the opportunity cost at the position for me. I mean, he still got Ridley and Godwin. He still got to put, you know, two good pieces there, which you could argue anything over, you know, Kelsey Hurts at that point. So Nick Chubb is not worth the 103, is what you're saying. You'd rather have the 103 than Nick Chubb right now.
If I was rebuilding.
Yeah, it's team dependent, right? Because you can look back on this.
Is it? It's just
Nick Chubb fits perfect for what Marvin did in this draft. But if you had Nick Chubb on your roster right now, Scott, you'd be like, "Why do I have Nick Chubb? I've got all these."
Yeah, I would sell. Yeah.
So it's kind of dependent, and I see where Mick's coming from as far as a general strategy. Like, no matter what the name is of a running back, I want to get out by X amount of time, because I'd rather be out a year too early than when the wheels are falling off and his trade value is dipped. So. You know, I can see that both ways, but it looks like Marvin really did capitalize on a win now roster, because I don't know what the starting lineup requirement is, but he's pretty solid, you know, except for maybe that second running back. And, you know, it's really dependent on Ertz, you know, finding a good landing spot, if, you know, with a tight end premium. But other than that, I mean, he's got pretty solid starting options, two quarterbacks that are good, a young one in Sam Darnold behind him. He's got Odell that could bounce back. I mean, I could definitely see him, you know, competing this year.
And he's got a couple running backs that could be as a spot start, or even if he has to rely on them as a second running back, in Devin Singletary, Keyshawn Vaughn, the aforementioned Todd Gurley, and then Nyheim Hines. They can all put up RB1 numbers on any given week. So I can see it competing, I guess. It depends on what the rest of the league's like. If there's a stacked team, then he's not going to be able to compete. But if it's average to slightly above average, I think this team is in the top six of the league. Without seeing the rest of the league, I would say it's in top six right now, as far as for this season.
Well, Mick, what did we learn about stacked teams in 2020? They're not always guaranteed to beat everybody, are they?
The playoffs.
I will say there's
paper a league, tigers, you know.
There's a league that all three of us are in together, and someone had Devin Singletary as their second running back and made the championship. So I'm just gonna say
the one game he had, all the longest run of his career, by like 20 yards. I was feeling so good, and then all of a sudden, I got a notification: Devin Singletary, 51-yard touchdown.
for no reason either. That was it was totally pointless.
I was like, yeah, I'm going to be in the playoffs or in the championship. Cool. I didn't think I'd make the playoffs in this league. Nope.
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's speaking of Trade Addicts leagues, let's get to some Trade Addicts trades here. Let's see. We don't have any TA1, so these are all super flex, PPR, 1.75 for tight end and 0.05 return yards. So TA2 was hopping this last week, man. Holy shit, we got a ton of trades. Okay, so let's start off with a bang right here. This one's for Ross. DJ Shark for David Montgomery.
DJ Shark. Oh, do we need to expound upon that? No, I don't know. I mean, Trevor Lawrence come in or not, I mean, they're going to have another quarterback coming down there in Jacksonville. I think he's only going to improve from this year. Obviously, it was a step back from his 2019, but he's still a young, good receiver. Montgomery, I mean, he got that end of the season boost with an easy schedule. But other than that, I mean, people were mostly out on him going into the year. And I think the value wise, it's going to, even out to where Montgomery's going to lose value as the year goes on. Chark's going to gain. Just for the value side alone, I think I would take the Chark side right now on that one.
This 100% is based on Trevor Lawrence going to Jacksonville, right? Like 6 weeks ago, let's go back. We think the Jets have the first pick. Sharks having a down season. Monty hasn't had his run. It's probably about even, right? But then Monty goes on his crazy run. And, I would have said Shark 6 weeks ago. Okay. Then Monty goes on his crazy run here at the end. You finally see what he can do, his full capabilities. Then I'm thinking you could probably get more than Shark for Monty, because I bought a lot of Monty before last season, and I'm definitely looking to flip some shares for sure coming off of this, because Cohen's coming back. We know we're still stuck with Nagy. So, definitely looking to sell Monty, but man, I feel like I could get more than Shark. So I'm kind of disappointed to see this trade, to be honest with you.
You definitely could get more than Shark. I'm in a startup right now where Monty went before guys like Miles Sanders, Aaron Jones.
What?
Joe Mixon. I think he might have gone before like Antonio Gibson and Cam Akers too. I'm not sure.
No.
Is this a Bears fan startup or what?
No. that league that
has like South Dakota Chicago Bears fan.
I mean, as a huge Chark fan myself, I mean, I would take Chark easily, but I agree with you. I think you could get more from Montgomery right now. So probably an undersell on him, but, long-term play, you'll probably look back on this and be glad you got out from Montgomery while he was the hot name instead of waiting for the fall and, maybe it doesn't start off that well, or Tariq Cohen's catching all the passes. Maybe they're behind a lot. Game scripts are negative and all of a sudden his value's back down. And, Trevor Lawrence or Fields or whoever comes into Jacksonville and Chark's producing like he did at the beginning of this year. And, you couldn't get it if you wanted to at that point. So it makes sense to me.
Absolutely. All right. Let's talk about a guy whose quarterback is retiring. So Kamara and the 207, or our guy CeeDee Lamb, Irv Smith, and the 113. Little bonus action there, the end of the first.
So that was
Kamara and the 207 for CeeDee Lamb, Irv Smith, and the 113.
I think I gotta go Kamara. As much as I love Lamb, the value's on the Kamara side. I mean, if I was rebuilding, I'd maybe take the Lamb side, especially because I like Irv's upside in the tight end premium. I think his third year, he's gonna take a big step forward. We'll see what Adam Thielen does in his year 32 season. But if he takes a little bit of a step back and they start using Irv in the red zone more, he could really, really take a surprise some people, in my opinion. But Kamara is still, he was just the number one running back in fantasy. by like 60 points. So it wasn't even close. So the value's on his side. You need more than that. The 207 could be added to the Lamb side. I think if that was added and you weren't sending the 207, then I'd maybe consider it. But as it is, I want the Kamara side.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you there on that one, Mick. I've seen Kamara, you know, having him in some leagues where Drew Brees is out, you're not getting those dump offs, and you're just hoping that, like, just throw the ball to Kamara, give him the ball. What are you doing, Sean Payton? What's going on? So I'm selling all my shares of Kamara right now because I don't trust that the next quarterback, the next offense is going to feature him as heavily and he's going to produce as much as he does. He's really efficient. I mean, this will give a lot of carries to Murray and he's producing, but I just don't trust that. I'm also 100% a CeeDee Lamb was a 101 last year in non-super flex leagues. And, you know, I kind of want to pose this question. If that was Justin Jefferson instead of CeeDee Lamb, would that change your mind at all?
Not really. For me, they're not that far apart, in my opinion.
That would 100% change. Come on.
Okay. So
But it wouldn't for me. I don't have them that far apart, to be honest.
Well, that's the answer that I think it should be, Mick, because if you look at CeeDee Lamb's numbers before Dak got hurt, and I've happened to extrapolate them for you right here, so Justin Jefferson ended with 88 catches, 1,400 yards, and 7 TDs, right? Great all-time rookie season. Well, even including the game where Dak got hurt, if you extrapolate those games to the full season, Lamb ends up with 93 catches, 1,386 yards, and 6 TDs. So if Dak were healthy and the offense went the same, obviously we don't know what would happen. But, I mean, he could be right there, you know, battling. Who's the best receiver? This is the best receiver class ever. Who's the rookie of the year, Lamb or Jefferson? Could be a debate, you know, and people are just discounting Lamb right now because Dak got hurt. And I think next year he's going to come back and maybe even have a better season than Jefferson.
I think the only argument for Jefferson over Lamb right now is target competition. Jefferson's only competing more or less only with Thielen. And Lamb's competing with Amari and Michael Gallup, which Gallup in his own right, I think, put him on most teams, and he's easily the wide receiver two, if not the wide receiver one. I think he's for me, Gallup's a big buy. But back to Lamb, you're right. He is undervalued compared to Jefferson. I just think Jefferson's value is inflated because he got the record.
I mean, I love them both. I just think if you saw Jefferson that trade, you would think, oh, yeah, that's good. Selling high on Kamara, get out. But I think Lamb should be the same reaction. At least for me, I would take either one of them in that trade. And I'm just trying to get out from Kamara.
I'll compare it to a trade that I made with Cook involved the other day. It was Dalvin Cook, the 203 and the 302 for J.K. Dobbins, Justin Jefferson, and the 103.
What?
So to me, that's the value you should be getting for a Dalvin Cook or an Alvin Kamara. And if you're not getting that, don't trade him.
No, I think you fleeced Elliott on that one. That had to be an Elliott trade. There's no way. That's – yeah, you got a lot, dude.
I agree with you on that sentiment, Mick, where, you know, if you can't get what the market value is, then, you know, hold on to them. But for me – I just think the, you know, uncertainty of what happens in 2021 New Orleans with Kamara, I just don't want to be stuck holding, you know, the sinking stock. Because I know Lamps is only going up. I mean, he's, going to be 22 with a full offense. I mean, I think in 2 years it's not even close. And, you know, what happens if next year the drop-off starts with Kamara just still being a great player but just not getting the touches, the offense is running differently. I mean, it's just too much risk on that side for me. It also depends on how many running backs you have on your team besides Kamara. But.
Okay, well, I'll be the tiebreaker, and it's CeeDee Lamb's side. You lose, Mick.
Fair enough. If I was rebuilding, I'd want the Lamb side. I'd still want a little bit more, but I'm also greedy. So.
And the hard part with trading a stud running back like Kamara is if you're not getting a running back, you better have some good depth because at 113, right. You're most likely not getting – you know, it's not 2020 draft. I mean, there could be some hidden gems that come out of this draft that could start for you, but the probability is low that you're going to get a running back with that pick.
I think whoever traded him had the mindset that you're talking about, Ross. They want to get out from him now and say, hey, I'm going to plug in CeeDee Lamb for the next, you know, several years and not have to worry about it. And I'll figure out running back, which is generally my strategy too. So that probably makes sense. Plus, I mean, it's Lamb, so kind of skewed a little bit there. All right. Well, speaking of other running backs to maybe get out of, Zeke Elliott and the 304 for Antonio Gibson and the 204.
Antonio Gibson all day.
This one's easy for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We sat here a year ago, and I said Antonio Gibson should be early second-round pick.
And yep. You were right. He should have been a first. As soon as they cut why can't I even remember his
name? Got him, Darius Geisea.
As soon as they cut Geis, he should have been in the first round. He should have, just based off his athletic measurables alone and the fact that he had zero competition.
Yeah, no, I think this is, like you said, a clean sweep for us, but I still think he could probably get more for Zeke. But I'll take the Gibson and the 204 pretty easily because, you know, as a Cowboys fan, like you said, I hate the contract they gave him. You know, I think our offense is good with Pollard. I don't know. I don't know if it's a motivation thing when he got that contract or he's just, you know, the tread on the tires is getting thin, but something just doesn't look right. He's still a good running back. I just don't think he's that explosive stud, you know, top of the fantasy draft running back that he used to be anymore. So, you know, get what you can for him.
Yep, I pretty much agree on that. I did buy a couple Zeke shares at the end of the season. Hopefully I bought low and I'll flip him because he was RB2 when Dak was there. So hopefully that strategy pays off, but we shall see. All right, 1.75 PPR for tight ends. So Mark Andrews and Zach Ertz for Jonnu Smith, the 113, the 212, a 22 second and a 22 third. So it looks like if this was in fact the same league, because it looks like these were both TA2, right? Then that CeeDee Lamb, Irv Smith, and 113 is now that 113 with Jonnu Smith, a late second, a 22 second, and third for Andrews and Ertz. Now, the one thing I will point out, people do not realize, everybody says like Ertz is gone. Philly picked up his option for next season at the beginning of last season. So I don't know what that does in terms of cap space for cutting him. And I think they probably are going to cut him just because of the way that their season turned out. And they certainly didn't think this was going to happen. So I get why they did that. But everyone keeps saying he's gone. Like it's for sure. It's not for sure. He's actually under contract through next season. So I don't know what that does. Like I said, cap wise, but he is not for sure gone. So if he's in Philly, I don't know if that changes your answer, if he's in Philly or if he's, you know, taking the risk elsewhere. But Jonnu Smith is for sure a free agent. So we do know that. So it's basically the known asset of Mark Andrews, the previous stud Ertz, the up and coming Jonnu Smith, and a bunch of picks. So I honestly don't even know. It's kind of a crazy trade because it's like the tight end mania, man. I'm not sure even where to go with that. I guess the picks for me, I don't have any rhyme or reason behind that other than I like Jonnu and I think he goes somewhere and makes a difference or continues his upward trend.
For me, I think I lean the picks too, just because Andrews, he's not really that much of a difference maker at the tight end position. It seems like he is because he scores touchdowns. But when you're talking about 1.75 tight end premium, Jonnu, really any tight end that catches passes could score more than him on a given season. Jonnu, I hope he goes somewhere that will use him really well. But this last year, Anthony Fisker?
Fisker, I barely knew her.
Actually, if you look at their stats, if Jonnu didn't have the touchdowns, they're basically identical. So just go pick up or buy Anthony Fisker? However you say it.
Anthony Fisker.
Sir. Go buy him. But I'd take the pick side just because I Mark Andrews doesn't. He's a flashy name, but with the tight end, with the premium for catches, I'd rather have another tight end.
Knowing this tight end class, you could probably get one with the 113. I mean, you're not getting Pitts, but you could probably get Freiermuth or Brevin Jordan, probably replaces production anyway. So
exactly what I was thinking, to be honest.
Yeah. I'll take the youth and picks then. That makes sense to me. Ross, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, obviously if you're not a competitor, then the pick side is easy. Jonathan Smith and the picks, do your research and draft some young guys. But if you're competing, I could see an argument for, Mark Andrews, Zach Ertz, if he does land somewhere else, he could land in a good spot.
Indy?
Indy, New England, wherever. But it's the same kind of with Jonathan Smith as a free agent. You don't know where these guys are going to land. They could land in the perfect situation. They could land in somewhere that doesn't ever use a tight end, but they needed one, so they got the best free agent. It's kind of a what's the only proven asset in this trade, and to me that's Mark Andrews at this point, just because we don't know where Johnny Smith's going to land or Ertz. But as far as the Eagles go, I think if they keep Wentz, they'll probably keep Ertz, and if they send Wentz, they'll probably send Ertz. I think they're going to be, the same. They're either both there or they're both gone. So that's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Like I said, as long as if you're not a competitor, I think it's pretty easy to take Johnny Smith in the picks.
Yeah, that makes sense to me for sure. Last one here, Trade Addicts 4. This one is interesting. Baker Mayfield, Joe Mixon, Marvin Jones, 4. The 102 and the 202.
This one was probably the toughest for me looking at these trades. I think personally I would just lean with the 102 and the 202 just because of Baker's inconsistency. I still think he can put it together and, at least be a quarterback too for a Superflex league. But I just think he's so inconsistent that his value could dip again. It's kind of a roller coaster of, if you were wanting to flip him, it could tank again. And I think the 102 and the 202, especially as we get closer to draft season, those are only going to increase in value. So, maybe you do want a better quarterback and you don't want to rely on a rookie, you could take these picks and then flip them for, maybe a more consistent, quarterback than Baker. So I think I'd go either way. It's probably 51-49 for me on evaluating this one, but I'd probably lean slightly towards the picks.
I think I'm going to go with Baker and Mixon, and I get Marvin Jones.
Jones. The kicker, Marvin Jones.
I'm not even sure why, to be honest. I think it's just because my mind's still in winning championships mode and not having the prettiest roster mode. But, Mixon last year was a borderline first-round startup pick. And Baker, he's inconsistent, but if he keeps playing like he did at the end of the year this year, he could be a QB1 pretty easily, which I think if you're hoping that Justin Fields at 102 is that. And honestly, I prefer Mixon to any running back that you get in this class, which is weird because he's 24 and the incoming rookies are 22. But that's my thought process.
Yeah, I think the way this goes is how you feel about Joe Mixon. So people that don't like Mixon are probably taking the picks, but I'm just going to break it down as, all right, at 102, it's Justin Fields, or whoever, if he's, the second pick, whatever. Mm-hmm. But where does he land, and what situation is he in? So I don't know. So Mixon is worth more than the 202 for me. And the unknown of the 102, as much as I don't like Baker, I'd probably take Baker. But I do understand the picks, they're definitely going to increase in value. And literally draft day, when you're on the clock, even at 102, and you're like, yeah, who can I get for this? You might be able to flip him for, flip the 102 for.
You could honestly get the package.
You could probably get a better quarterback than Baker at that point. I mean, there's a lot of guys that just, they want the next, or they want to gain the years, so you might be able to do better than Baker. So I could totally understand the pick side. For me, I'm going to stick with Mixon for now. I think, that offense is going to take the next step next year. Everybody healthy and T. Higgins, the number one, and Burrow back second year in the system, all that. So I would probably take him, and I'd probably be looking to sell Baker and Mixon, but that's probably the way it goes. So, man, that's an interesting one, but that's exactly the type of trade you're going to see in January. You know, that's all about, hey, I'm going to go for the picks. I'm going to get the youth or go for the next great player, you know, or I'm going to go trade these picks for the known, you know, and say, hey, I know what these guys can do. I know how they can fit in my lineup. And so, you know, yeah, that's.
Yeah. And speaking of a Baker owner / former Baker owner in some leagues, I think this is probably the owner saying, hey, this is my chance to move him, because midway through the season, he's putting up 120 passing yards, no touchdowns for like 4 or 5 games in a row. I mean, he had that good end of the season. Like, hey, this is my selling window. You know, this could go right back to it next year. They're just running the ball. They're not doing much. You know, Odell comes back and creates havoc or whatever. This is where I know he has his value. I can get a top rookie pick. I'm just going to make the move now and not have to worry about that headache. So I could definitely see, you know, if that's where it's coming from, you know, as someone who's owned a Baker in the past.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. Well, all right, fellas, we did it. We did an entire Trade Addicts episode in less than an hour and 18 minutes. I don't know how, I don't know why, but I guess it's January, so, you know, we made it. Like to say thanks, as always, to Dynasty Outhouse, Russ Fisher, the man himself, who again has allowed me to do this now for an entire year and bring on these guys, Mick and Ross. It's always awesome chatting with these guys. And we're going to have – let's talk about a couple things here real quick. Dynasty Roast. This is the time for Dynasty Roast, the non-point scoring season. This is where we actually do stuff. During the season, not so much. But before the season – definitely. This is where we're going to, you know, break down your teams and do podcasts on it, videos. We've got a couple different options. We're working on some things, websites and YouTube channels and all that. So it's just going to get bigger and better for this year. So we can make an official announcement on some more of that stuff later. We will definitely let you guys know when that is the time. But for now, it's Ross, what's our email?
That would be dynastyroastshow@gmail.com.
Thank you, sir.
Or find us on Twitter @dynastyroast.
Excellent. Mick, anything you want to pimp right now? Anything beyond the roast that you want to add or even add for the roast?
No, other than be prepared for me to make fun of your team. Because they're probably all old.
They're all old. We know that's coming. I mean, come on. Is that? I mean, that's going to be the shtick, I guess. I mean,
I guess
if your players have old man ribs, Mick's not going to like them.
Old man ribs. Basically, anything older than 25 is dust.
If you can win the car, you're too old.
So many things I want to say right there, but okay. Yeah, we'll keep it clean for the kids. So. Trade Addicts, I'm going to pimp our Patreon because, hey, if you want to end up here like me hosting a Trade Addicts podcast, go to patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. Come and support the show. Come hang out in the cool kids club. Talking trades all day long, even in January. Yes, that is true. That is still all that we do all day, every day. Part of the DAP network, Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter. Man, I'm telling you, I was on the fantasy timeline last week. Those guys are freaking awesome. I had a great time. So there are not just Trade Addicts, but we're a versatile crew over here at the DAP. We've got a lot of options for every fantasy player, dynasty or not. Anything. We're there. We've got you covered. And with that, good night, Mick. Good night, Ross.
Night, Scott. Night, Ross.
Until next time.